bubble level, 4 foot level. We make sure that the foundation is level. We make sure that everything that's supposed to be upright is plumb, like the plans call for. And this is something that we use to test with. Also, if it's a large building, we have something that you're probably familiar with called a tape measure. Sometimes the framing square and the level are just not long enough and big enough, so we have to pull a tape from side to side, like so, to make sure that this side is equal to that side. That's called checking for square. So as we check for square, we check for plumb, these are just simple tests to make sure that as we're building, whatever it may be, a building, a barn, it could be something that people are welding together, that everything is just right so that the final product won't look like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Listen, in our Christian life, we have to check the messages that we hear. We have to check the spirits that are talking to us through teachers and preachers. We have to check them. How do we check them? Well, we don't use these. We use this, God's Word. And if we're not familiar with God's Word, then we'll start believing a lot of things that aren't really God. They sound religious. They sound good, but that's not really what God wants. We have to test the spirits. The things that the world, the sinful temptations that are coming, as we saw in this video. Listen, even believers are tempted every day. If we're not testing those spirits, we can fall for things that Satan has planted just for us. If you have your Bibles today, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Learning to test the spirits, how to live as an overcomer in this life. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said this, "I often laugh at Satan, and there's nothing that makes him so angry as when I attack him to his face and tell him that through God, I'm more than any match for him, living as an overcomer." There's an old Latin proverb that says, the first step to wisdom is to know what is false. The first step for us growing in Christ is knowing what is not true. We have to know what is not true so that we can understand truth when we see it and understand it, know it. 1 John chapter 4. Remember, John is talking to believers in the church. So he's addressing these things to the church, not to a lost world, to the church. Because there were teachers who were preaching and teaching things that were not true. And today, Christians, we're challenged with the same thing. There are teachers, there are spiritualists who are teaching things and coming across our airways with many things that are not sound biblically. They sound good, but they're not doctrinally sound. So how do we overcome some of these things? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus is from God is not. But every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them." You can underline that in your Bible. "We're from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Let's pray together. Father God, today, as So we turn to your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts to understand how valuable it is for each of us as believers to be in your word, to understand your word, to grow in your word. Because there are many, many messages coming at us. And Lord, they sound so religious. They sound so right. It's a verse here and a verse there out of your own word. But God, it's mixed up. It's not where it needs to be. And so many are led astray. Father, teach us today to test the spirits to see if they're of you. Through the power of your Holy Spirit living in us. In Jesus' name, amen. There are several just pieces of wisdom this morning that we should learn to help us navigate the deceptive waters and become overcomers in this life. To help us understand, you know, that there are some things out there that are being taught that are false, but also to understand there's some sinful things out there that we need to back away from and see that's the world and understand that God has something greater for us. The first piece of wisdom is this, is to be cautious, not gullible. To be cautious, not gullible. Christians should not be foolish to follow unfamiliar teaching that contradict or alienate God's word. Christians must learn to be wise and discern what teaching someone is spreading, to understand what they're saying. We must be cautious and remain on guard at all times to the soothing words of people who claim to have answers to inner peace and eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 1, says, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe everyone. We must trust God's word and agree that there are some supernatural influences of evil in the world who are bidding for our attention and for our allegiance. Listen, the devil knows God's word. And he knows how to pick and choose just things to make it sound so good. Listen, if there's a teacher going through the Bible and just pulling out all the good stuff, all the things that, about riches and prosperity and all those wonderful things, listen, that makes us feel good. It really does. And so, well, it's coming from the Bible. It's coming from God's word, but it's not the wholeness of the truth of the gospel. You see, the truth of the gospel is that we're sinners. We're spiritually dead. And without Jesus Christ, we remain spiritually dead. In John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, we die in the consequences of our sin. You don't hear that when you're striving to live your best life now. You see, we have to understand there's the wholeness of the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. And we must preach today and understand that, listen, God wants great things for us, but we have to understand that we are not that great people. Do not believe every doctrine, every spiritual experience or supernatural mystery. You cannot be one with the universe, as some modern cults and spiritualists claim. Do not be gullible enough to try and believe every story of out-of-body experiences. Evil spirits and deceitful imaginations can manipulate circumstances to fool people who are not familiar with God's word. Listen, when a person is ignorant of God's word, they'll believe anything. So when they have an emotional experience or some spiritual experience and they'll think, well, God showed me this. No, he didn't. You better test it. You better check it right here. See, that's the plumb line. That's the square. That's the level that we base things on. This is the canon of Scripture that we have to balance everything on. Check it right here. If it doesn't check out, then get rid of it. Don't be gullible. Be cautious. Stay on guard, God's word says. Be on the lookout. Satan is like a lion prowling around looking for opportunities that come at us. P. People do have spiritual experiences that are of God, but they will be affirmed by God's word as genuine. Do not believe every spirit. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out. John is telling the church this 2,000 years ago. Listen to this. There are many false prophets out there that are teaching part of the gospel, but not the whole gospel, and only part is still a lie. Do you want the part of the truth or the whole truth? Nothing but the truth. Yeah. Telling part of it is still partially lying. God's word is clear. There are false teachers, preachers and religions, cults and New Age spiritualists can propagate. They can propagate a message of spiritual renewal, but it's based on demonic manipulation of the truth of God's word. Don't you think that Satan can manipulate God's word? Yes, he can. He can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Eve was looking at the fruit, and Satan was saying, yeah, you can have that. And Eve was like, oh, no, we can't eat that. And he said, did God really say that? Oh, you see how he can begin to manipulate? And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, right after his baptism, Jesus countered Satan with God's word, but Satan was giving him temptations and temptations and temptations. Oh, be cautious. False teachings focus on glorifying people to fulfill this insatiable desire of pleasure, power, and prosperity. False teaching make it about us. It's all about us and how we can rise to the best person that we can be. Really? Apart from Christ, you can't do that. And you know what? Any gospel that teaches me how to be the best me, apart from Christ, is no gospel at all. I need to know who I am. I'm a broken down sinner. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. I'm a broken down sinner, saved by the grace of God. And I'll live my life teaching the cross of Christ. Why? Because I was a broken down sinner needing the grace of God. Be cautious, because many are led astray by their own desires for custom-made spiritualism. There are so many people who have gone through God's word and just ripped out the pages they don't like. They don't like this, so they'll rip it out. They don't like that, so they'll rip it out. And they'll focus on only the things that they like and desire, and doing themselves an injustice. Don't be gullible. Be cautious. The second piece of wisdom is this. Be spiritually assertive, not apathetic. Don't just sit back and think things are just going to happen the way they're going to happen. No, we have to be on guard, but also offensive. We have to be assertive. Believers are urged to be proactive in comparing spiritual doctrines with God's word. Well, let them be over there, and whatever will be whatever. Just let them be over there. If they don't have Jesus, they're lost. There's not a form of Jesus. If they don't have Jesus as Savior, they're lost. See, we apathetically just think that, well, they'll work it all out. They won't. No, we have to be assertive. 1 John says, test the spirits. We must know what we know. We must know what we know. If you're new to our church, listen, you need to be in Kirk's class, Kirk DeVilliers' class. It's a new believer's class. Kirk, raise your hand right there. Look, there he is. I'm going to point him out. We're small enough to point him out. This is the next step class. If you want to learn solid foundational teachings of God's word, we start there. Listen, we have discipleship classes that are just starting. I hope you sign up and check off on Wednesday nights. We're going deep in God's Word, systematic theology. So, wow, what is that? We're going and we're pinpointing from God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. You need to know what you know so you can test the spirits. You need to see if it's authentic to God's Word. Many doctrines and spiritual disciplines resonate well with religious jargon. They sound good. They have a lot of religious words, but do not align with the teachings of Christ in the New Testament. God's Word is our pattern for which we all other doctrines are measured against as being acceptable or disagreeable. We see Scripture as God's spoken word, God's breathed word into inspired writers. We must learn that just because someone quotes Scripture or formulates a message does not necessarily that that message is contextual truth of what God's Word means. Listen, when we take a verse in the Bible, we need to make sure that we keep it into the context that it was written. We need to understand what it says beforehand, who he's addressing it to, and afterwards. Just to pull a verse out and not keep it into the context that it was written is not doing a justice to God's Word, and we can make up anything that we want to believe. And that's what has happened today. So many in the church, they'll pull out a few verses here and a few verses there, and they're not in the context that they were written in God's Word. They're not in the context of a writer. Understand this, that the New Testament, all these are letters. So if you wrote a letter to a friend, a letter of encouragement, a letter of rebuke, whatever it is, just a friendly letter, and somebody got your letter, and they began to pull a sentence out of that, they can make your letter mean anything they want it to mean. Anything. And that's what we're doing to God's Word. We're taking a verse here and there. If we don't keep it into the flow and the context of what it was written in, what it says above, the intent that it was meaning behind it, then we're at fault. And we are going to have to give account because we're taking God's Word out of context to try to make it suitable for the way we feel or what we like. We can't mishandle God's Word. We have to keep it in the context that it was written. Was I preaching there? We must test the spirits. Test the spirits. Men and women who teach and preach a prosperity message, name it and claim it doctrine, are out of bounds with God's Word. Their message sounds hopeful and alluring to materialistic-minded people. Greed, camouflaged with religious phrases, is still greed. And it's still sin. When you're serious about receiving the abundance of God, you'll step out. You'll stop looking at your bank account and start focusing on God's Word. You want to see the blessing that God pours into you, you'll quit looking at your bank account and you'll start looking at the people. So the rewards you and I receive in heaven are the people that we lead to Christ, or the people that we invite, the people that we encourage, the people that we invest ourselves in. It's dealing with people. Not how much money we have in the bank. See, good stewardship does bring God's favor, but the doctrine of prosperity message is riddled with false hope. And just to be sure, ask Christians in third world countries who are living in tin houses, who are digging in garbage dumps every day to eat, but they're born-again believers. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. See, they're not living the prosperity message that so many are preaching, but Americans are falling for it like crazy. Be assertive. Test the spirits. Shirin Suzuki said, "If your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. It is open to everything. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. But in the expert's mind, there are only a few. You see, there are people who have been Christians for 20, 30 years who are very, very shallow in their faith and understanding of God's Word. They just won't take the time to do it. I'm saved. I've got mine. I'm good. We have to grow because there's a spiritual message out there that are coming to us and that we'll believe and we'll begin to incorporate into our belief system unless we test it, unless we put the framing square of God's Word to it. The third piece of wisdom is this: discern the Spirit's message. Discern the Spirit's message. Christians must be able to identify the truth of God when confronted with a twisted message meant to deceive. Can you identify a false message from a religion? Do you know that there are cultic religions that are very large that have actually taken God's Word out of context and twisted it around? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, meaning Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jehovah's Witnesses have taken that and twisted it around. So then in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was a God. Wait a minute. That denies the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're saying that Jesus Christ was a lesser God. Do you see how the letter A, the one word, A, made all the difference? Denying the deity of Jesus Christ would send you to hell. Can you identify a false religious message when you hear it? Do you know when God is moving you with His truth? Or do you have difficulty identifying God at work? Do you know what's true about God when you hear it? Can you detect false teaching? Can you turn the TV on and listen to one of these superstar preachers and discern what you hear as being gospel truth or something that is coming from his mouth that is from demon-possessed? And only there to prosper him and his ministry. Can you do that? If you can't do that, you need to click it off. Click it off. You have power and control through the Holy Spirit to do click. It's not hard. But I like him. I like him too. Jesus loves everybody, and I want to be like Jesus. But I don't have to listen to that garbage. Discerning what others say. Discerning their message. John is addressing believers. It was his day because they were being influenced by teachers who doubted Jesus' deity and humanity. These false teachings presented Jesus as less than God. Only a prophet, great prophet or a great man. Deity of Christ. Deity of Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, God's word is alive and working and sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way into us, where the soul and the spirit are joined, even into the joints and bones. It cuts. And it judges the thoughts and the feelings in our hearts. Nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. God judges our hearts. We can recognize the truth and identify its deception. Listen, we are to be cautious. We are to test the spirits. We are to scrutinize the teachings that are coming across to us. We are to compare them to God's Word. And the fourth thing is this, and we're closing, is that when we do this, we are an overcomer. We are an overcomer. You see, John was talking to the Christians here, and he was calling them, you are an overcomer. Why? Because you're still in the church and you haven't left. You didn't follow all these teachings. You didn't go after that. You're still here. You are an overcomer in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 says, you, dear children, are from God and overcome them. See, God has chosen you to be a child, His child, and He has equipped you for victory through Christ. That's the thing, Christian. God has already equipped us through the power of the Holy Spirit to discern all these things. You say, Brother Kevin, I don't understand God's Word. Listen, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment of God's Word and teach you. Set under wise teachers. Set under teachers who believe God's Word as infallible and errant. Understand that we can grow in our faith so we can begin to spot out these things. Test those spirits. John addresses these believers as endeared children. Then he gives them the affirmation that they are from God and have been ready, already given the victory. See, John admonishes them and helps them, encourages them that they're doing the right thing. Listen, I encourage you today, you're here at 8 o'clock in the morning. You're doing the right thing to grow and knowledge and understanding of God's Word, so you can use it as the plumb line to test all other things that come. When the world brings temptations, you compare it. What does this look like according to God's Word? Well, God's Word says that's sin, so I'm not going there. Not the way I feel about it, because it might be something that I like. But according to God's Word, I'm looking at it, and I'm using it as a mirror. It says that's sin, I shouldn't do it. Well, I don't want to go there, even though I feel like it. Listen, please don't ever trust your feelings to make decisions on. Your feelings will lie to you over and over and over again. The heart is deceptive. Some of you didn't feel like getting up to come to church this morning, but you did anyway. You just didn't feel like you're tired. Had a long day yesterday. Too many Christians today are following their feelings. You will never be an overcomer in Christ if you're just following your feelings. You'll go up and down and all around and all. And listen, we're all guilty of it. All of us. All of us. We must learn how to surrender that over to Christ, little at a time. Listen, there'll be things that still stir our feelings. Boy, we'll want to jump at it. But remember, seek God. And you just tell God, God, I'm in the way on this one. Because my feelings are telling me to do this. And I know I'm in the way. Show me your way, God. See, nothing has the power to overwhelm the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus died and shed His blood to save us. And He summons us to live this victorious life through all the mountains and valleys that come our way. Satan tells you that all hope is gone. Satan would tell you to follow your heart, follow your feelings. Listen, if you've ever given advice like that to somebody, you've led them astray. Just follow your heart. I want to remind you that Satan is a liar, and he'll lie to our hearts. He'll lie to us. See, verse 13 of 1 John chapter 4 says, and God has given us the Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. How do we combat the lies that come at us? How do we combat that spirit? How do we test that spirit that is lying to us, stirring up our emotions about something? How do we combat that? Just say, Lord, I want to do this, but Your will be done, not mine. Listen, you just calm that excitement down. You allow God to speak to you. Listen, there's been things I've been so excited about. And you know what? Within a day or two,
God has given me discernment and answer. Happens to all of us. What are you contending with that you see that you may have the lack of ability to overcome? Today is a day of freedom and victory in your life. See, totally giving over fear and anxiety and anger and worry and confusion. Giving all that over to Christ. Many times we struggle with issues rather than claim the power of Christ in our life. That He abides in us and we can overcome whatever's coming our way and we can have the outcome that we truly desire. John chapter 16, verse 33 tells us this: I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. This message teaches us to be alert for false teachings and to learn how to be sufficient in Christ and understand that we look at everything and we compare it to God's Word. We discern it. And we live as overcomers. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they know me. They know my voice. And they listen to me. And they follow. So how do we know all those false things out there? How do we know when there's a temptation that's leading us astray? When we feel that it's right, it sounds so right. We take out the measuring tool. It's God's Word. Does it square up with God's Word? Is it really what God's Word says? Allows. Is it really giving us what we want or what we think we want? And if God says no, then for us it's a no. No matter how bad we want it, no matter how in our heart we desire it so much, it has to be God. That's how we live as an overcomer. That's how we test the spirits. Listen, there'll be many, many temptations. There'll be many messages out there that come to us. I encourage you, church, look to God's Word. Read God's Word. Learn God's Word. Understand God's Word. And then when those temptations come, when those messages come and they're false, you have direction because it doesn't match up. And that's one of the things that's good about God's Word. And that's why we have it, that it acts as our navigation. The Holy Spirit living inside of us gives us discernment so that we can understand God's Word. And we're always faced with things, and He gives us direction. God's Word and the Holy Spirit will never, ever, listen to me, never, ever contradict one another. Never. The Spirit and the Word are always in agreement. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank You so much for Your great love. God, I thank You today for Your Word that teaches us how to discern false messages from preachers and teachers and, Lord, temptations that come our way from the world. And, God, it sounds good, it feels good, and we want to jump it, and Your Word says no. Your Holy Spirit is holding us back like a horse in a bridle to keep us from running off chasing things that aren't of You. Oh, Father, I pray today that You teach us more. Dig very deep into our hearts so that we can live as an overcomer for You in Christ's name. Amen.